Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining our first quarter earnings for 2016 results conference call from GB Auto. We have Dr. Ralph Kabur, CEO, Mr. Mustafa Al-Maadeed, CFO, and Mrs. Muntalla Sadek, CIO, presenting. I will hand over to Dr. Kabur for his presentation, then we will have a Q&A session. Dr. Kabur, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining our first quarter 2016 earnings call. Here with me today are Mustafa Al-Maadeed, our CFO, and Muntalla Sadek, our Chief Investment Officer. I'll begin this afternoon with a very brief overview of our performance in the first quarter, as I believe everyone has had ample time to read and consider our earnings newsletter. I'll also discuss our outlook for the year, as well as the current status of the Automotive Directive. Mustafa will then add some color on the financial highlights of the first quarter, and Muntalla has an update for you on our in-progress investments. We'll then open the call to your questions. Despite the challenges we face in both our home and expansion markets, we continue to be cautiously optimistic about the shape of the year to come. Demand in Egypt remains very strong and reasonably price insensitive. We have been actively passing on price increases, and consumers have taken them in a stride after an adjustment period in the first quarter that lasted only several days. In that respect, we are ahead of other industries that have been reporting softness in pricing power and sharp declines in revenues in recent weeks. We also posted important market share gains despite operating in an environment marked by a shortage of foreign exchange and the specter of further devaluation. This remains an issue that concerns us. However, in the short term, it's but a blessing in disguise. We are the strongest market players, and we know how to turn difficult situations to our advantage, a fact that will become even more accentuated in the quarters to come and that will see us post revenue growth. As you all know, the declines in our reported top line was mainly the result of a significant shortage of inventory at the beginning of the first quarter, in addition to the very weak performance coming from Iraq. This was only partially offset by a very strong performance at our after-sales tires and financing businesses divisions. That said, there are bright spots in our results, almost all of which are underpinned by our investment growth in recent years. This begins with our market share gains in passenger cars. The enduring attractiveness of the Hyundai brand played a key role here, as our Hyundai market share rose to nearly 27% from almost 24% a year ago. But equally important, in view of supply constraints, was our drive in recent years to build a diverse portfolio of brands that competes across price points, with sales from Mazda, Geely, and Chery sending our total passenger car market share to nearly 34% in the first quarter and a high of more than 39% in March alone. We therefore expect to see our group market share to remain above the 35% mark for the rest of the year as we continue to outplay competition in a tricky working environment. Those bright spots extend to commercial vehicles and construction equipment, where we will begin booking revenues later this year from contracts that will see us supply 260 buses on government contracts by the end of the third quarter. Our tires division is booming. Our financing businesses is posting stellar results, and we see continued strong demand for both passenger cars and motorcycles and three-wheelers despite supply constraints, which are fading as we speak, as we continue to build a longer than usual stock of inventory. In other words, the fundamentals of our business are strong. The challenges are in Egypt's macro picture, as well as the security and regulatory frameworks in our expansion markets. This theme of investing to smooth out results in challenging times and positions ourselves to win in a rising market will continue to be a hallmark of our strategy in the coming years. I know many of you are waiting for news of the automotive directive, which would give us incentives and guarantee the sustainability of our assembly operations and to enhance our profitability by erasing the significantly unexplainable advantage that certain importers have over local assemblers. I hope to deliver good news with that regard in the next few months. I see the directive as inevitable. Given the current macro environment in Egypt, export-oriented manufacturing industries should be encouraged rather than discouraged. Empowering businesses to export gives them natural hedges against currency fluctuations. Whatever the advantages to individual businesses, it is inarguable that the ultimate beneficiary of medium-weight, medium-technology manufacturing is the nation of Egypt. Manufacturing creates jobs. It is a source of foreign currency, and it is a source of national pride. This is why we continue to advocate for the manufacturing directive. It is why we are pushing ahead with our plan for a motorcycle and three-wheeler manufacturing facility, and it is why we are eager to build our tire manufacturing facility. With that, I will hand the call over to Mustafa Al-Mahdi, our CFO, for a quick look at our financial performance in the third quarter. Menatallah Sadek, our CIO, will then follow with some insights into these investments before we open the floor to your questions. Mustafa, please.
Thank you, Dr. Raouf. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. For the first quarter of 2016, GBO total sales revenues decreased by 8.6% quarter-on-quarter. In the first quarter, mainly due to the shortage of inventory at the beginning of the quarter, as well as a negative impact of Iraqi operations. Overall, our operating profit increased 39.5% compared to Q4 2015, although it's only increased 7.4% quarter-on-quarter. Net profit showed a slight decrease quarter-on-quarter, mainly as a result of a formal devaluation of 13.4% in mid-March, which resulted in a forex loss from the revaluation of U.S. dollars paid. The company continued to report a positive minority interest due to the regional losses incurred, especially in Iraq. With the low oil prices, environment is taking its toll on economy, in addition to a regional oversupply situation with spillover mainly affecting Iraqi operations. Management has acted upon this by reducing regional fixed costs, which will pay off in what remains of 2016. On the cash front, as the company builds its inventory with an extremely difficult foreign currency environment, we continue to rapidly use any generated cash for this purpose, which explains the negative cash flow from operation. Management believes that this is a strategic move to position GP Auto as a supplier of choice for our consumers. As Dr. Rauf noted, GB Auto's market share was in the 39% range in March 2016, up from 23% in March 2015. This is poised for further improvement in all our lines of business, as we have now replenished most of our stocks of passenger cars, two- and three-wheelers, and commercial vehicles under challenging foreign currency conditions. This is an operational hedge that we wouldn't have achieved had we not had access to excess liquidity at the end of 2015. The group net debt stood at 5.2 billion Egyptian pounds, an increase of 1.1 billion compared to Q4 2015. Net debt to equity was maintained at 88 points as at March 31st, 2016, from 0.9 times at end of December 2015. Total debt increased to 6 billion Egyptian pounds at the end of this quarter, which includes 1.6 billion Egyptian pounds of a financing business debt. As we continue to expand and grow our operations, the figures also include a foreign currency exposure amounts as a component of a foreign currency of US dollars 90 $90.6 million. GP Auto is looking to settle this debt in foreign currency promptly to reduce any devaluation risk in the main markets, Egypt and Iraq. As we continue 2016 with replenished inventory levels, a solid pricing strategy, and rather healthy market demand, despite the natural inflation, we are in a better position to reap the benefits of our high-growth markets than other struggling players in the industry. With that, I will hand over to Minna. Minna, please.
Thank you, Mustafa. Before turning to our investments, I would like to stress on the issue of both revenues and margins for a moment. Each of these points underscores our cautious optimism for the year, indicating that we are able to pass on price increases and control our costs. Revenues were down 8.6% year-on-year, but we were up by 8.7% quarter-on-quarter as we were able to replenish our inventory in the second half of the first quarter. Obvious downside risks still remain, but the quick pace at which the market absorbed our price increases suggests we still have room to maneuver. Our pricing power and careful attention to cost control saw our gross margin rise 250 basis points year-on-year in the first quarter. What's more, our cost of goods sold in 2016 reflects all actual costs, meaning we're comparing real gross margins this year with overstated gross margins last year. On a like-for-like basis, that means our real improvement in gross margin is actually on the order of 350 basis points, 3.5% year-on-year, as I promised many of you when we met over the past few months. Moving on to our new project, we are very pleased this quarter to announce that we have finalized technical assistance agreements with Bajaj. The agreements will give us the engineering data and technical know-how and expertise to allow us to manufacture Boxer 150 motorcycles and auto rickshaws. Construction will begin with the component manufacturing hangars and the purchase of machinery and equipment for new painting and welding shops. We are definitely excited about the project, which we see as filling a market niche that has been very resilient over time to both political development and economic shifts. Meanwhile, we are in advanced talks with strong technology partners to arrive at the final agreement for the regional tire manufacturing project. Our expectation is that we will produce a very strong lineup of car, light truck, and heavy truck tires. The next checkpoint here will be the announcement of our OEM when negotiations are finalized, and we would expect to have good visibility on the project location and an indicative timeline by then. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This brings our remarks to a close. Operator, we're now ready to take questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause just for a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Monaj Saab of Jarrah Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. My question is with respect to this motorcycle assembly plant, which you will be putting it up. What kind of margin expansion do you expect in two-wheelers and three-wheelers because of this? And you are also getting into the tire manufacturing. And what kind of margin expansion do you expect versus the current trading in the tires once you set up the plant?
Okay. Thank you for the question regarding the two- and three-wheeler. We currently are paying 20% custom duty for two-wheeler and 30% custom duty for two-wheeler and 20% custom duty for three-wheeler. With the manufacturing facility, our custom duties are going to be reduced to about 5 or 6%. So we have almost 15% advantage for the three-wheeler and 25% for the two-wheeler. The other thing is we currently are shipping about, I don't remember the number per container, but we are shipping almost the complete product. While in the manufacturing, we are going to be shipping the equivalent of 30% of the current volume, which means we have a 70% 70% freight saving. I have to admit that the cost of production, the local components, is going to be slightly higher than the cost of production of those components in India. But comparing the other savings from the freight and the custom duty, the difference is definitely in favor of the project. The final point regarding the two- and three-wheeler is that currently we are selling all the volume in the Egyptian territory. Partially because we cannot be competitive in the export market with a very limited level of local added value, and partly because our production capacity is at full, so we do not have enough capacity to supply export markets. As for the new project, we contemplate a volume of 120,000 three-wheeler and a volume of 240,000 two-wheeler. Currently, what we sell in the Egyptian market is about 80 or 85,000 three-wheeler, so we have a capacity of an extra 40,000 to sell in markets like East Africa, where the three-wheeler is extremely popular and where the custom duties are very high, and with whom we have free trade agreements, which are extremely advantageous for the Egyptian origin product we will be delivering. Same applies to the two-wheeler. So not only you will see an enhanced margin because of the reasons I have just mentioned, but you will also see an increased volume because of the export additional volume. As for the tire manufacturing project, we currently are achieving sales of almost 600 million Egyptian pounds between Egypt and the region. We are talking about a new facility which will be delivering sales of almost 450 million US dollar, which is equivalent to about 5 billion Egyptian pounds. So you're talking about eight times or nine times the volume. Currently, we are doing net profit from the tire business, net after tax, in the range of 12 to 13%. We are talking about in excess of 20% net after tax for the new facility. So it's we're going to be in a different place. Is that fulfilling your
your question? Yeah, I just one more question on the motorcycle and three-wheeler. How much of percentage of your components you will be manufacturing in Egypt? Because you will require a lot of component manufacturers also to set up units around your plant. So how much would be the localization component and how much of the components will be imported from India?
I don't really remember exactly the numbers, but as you know that there is no real local production of two or three-wheeler in Egypt now. So what we have, the agreement we have reached with the government is a gradual increase in the local content. I do not remember the percentages, but I think it's in the range of 20 or 25% local content.
So are you in talks with any of this auto component manufacturers in India so that they can set up their plant in Egypt so that they can supply you the parts for the motorcycles and three wheelers?
We did not yet start. We didn't yet start.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1. It appears there are no further questions at this time, but as a reminder, star 1 on your telephone keypad to ask a question. Our next question comes from Haitham Malah of EFG Hermes. Please go ahead.
Hello, and thank you very much for the call. Just a quick question on the recent boycott campaigns on cars in Egypt. Is this something that is to be taken seriously?
Absolutely not. I don't have... That's the easiest question. While reading it in the paper, I was laughing. Because, as a matter of fact, we are hardly catching up with the foreign exchange volatility, and our margins are either the same or the improved margins are really coming from all other sectors except car. So the margins of car is a bit reduced because we are really struggling to catch up with the foreign currency. And I do not see. I recall in 2008 there was a similar campaign, which was, the slogan was, let it rust at the dealers. It was bullshit, and it didn't do anything.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Monaj Zah of Jara Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. I've got another question. This is related to the price increase after the EGP depreciation. How much price increase have you taken across the board in the car segment as well as in two-wheelers and three-wheelers, if you can tell us separately? And how are you seeing the volumes in the second quarter after this? Is it stabilized or are you seeing a slowdown there? And other question, second question is with respect to the Iraqi operation, if you can update what's the current status over there. Have you closed down that over there? Because as you have moved the team back, so I just wanted to get an update there.
As a matter of fact, we in the car business, we have practically passed on most, I would say, of the devaluation impact to the end user. If we saw some margin reduction, it's in the range of 1 or 2%. As for the 2 and 3 wheeler, it was much more difficult because the price sensitivity, definitely they are much poorer category of people, and the price sensitivity is much higher. So that's where we really suffered in our margin. But as I said, our after-sale business is growing very fast. Our tire business is doing very well. Our finance business is doing very well. Commercial vehicle and construction equipment is doing well. So it has compensated for that. Plus our sales revenue actually has increased. As a matter of fact, especially during February and March. Talking about Iraq. Sorry?
Yes. If you can quantify the price increase, it is in the similar range of what has been the depreciation of EGP in cars, similar range of price hike has been taken place. Average, because it will vary model to model, but it would be in a similar range, 13 to 14%, 12, 13% range, price hikes in cars.
What's that? The devaluation is actually 40%, not 14%. you shouldn't consider the official rate because the banks are not giving us any allocation of foreign currency. So the 14% devaluation, which happened officially, is irrelevant to us. We are buying the dollars at 40% above the official rate, above the old official rate, the previous official rate. The previous official rate was 783. And all of a sudden, with no allocation of foreign currency from the banks, we started buying at 9 and 9.5 and 10. Now we are buying at 11. So if you divide 11 by 7.83, it will give you actually 41%. So that's what we had to pass on to the consumer, and that's what we almost successfully passed on to the car consumers. But in the 2- and 3-wheeler, because of the poverty level of the consumers, we have passed partially, and our margins have suffered the difference.
Okay.
As for Iraq,
gross margin in both the segments, that seems to have improved. Any specific reasons, or just the internal cost-cutting measures, or it's a lower commodity prices that is helping you? If you can comment more on that.
I don't understand. I didn't hear you.
The gross profit margin has improved. You have taken the price increase in the cars and motorcycle, and even after that, the gross profit margin has improved. So any specific reason why the gross profit margin has improved? Is it because of the lower cost cutting or the lower commodity prices?
I explained before that our performance in finance businesses, tire business, and commercial vehicle has compensated for the drop in margins of 2- and 3-wheeler.
Okay, fine.
Regarding Iraq, your last question was about Iraq. The situation is extremely difficult. The security situation is very bad. Economic situation is very bad, and the political stability is almost non-existent. So with all those components, the demand for cars has dropped tremendously. We expect during the first quarter, we have sold almost, 2,000 cars. 2,000 cars, which is a fraction of what we used to sell before. And I do not see an improvement in the very near future.
So you have closed down there, your operations there, or there are still...
I'm telling you, I have sold 2,000 cars. I'm continuing to sell cars, but the volumes are dropping. I did not close. On the contrary, I am opening new 3S centers and new branches. But we are trying to cut our overheads. That's where we successfully are reducing our overheads.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. As a reminder again, ladies and gentlemen, please press *1 to ask a question. It appears we have no further questions at this time.
Thank you very much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining our call today, and I'm confident we'll be able to give you a very brilliant call for the second quarter of 2016. Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.